black gold, back against the wall. Now we won't fall. Yes, yes, y'all. Money coming in, homie, watch that fall. Black gold, we ain't playing no more. Look, we want it all. Boom. We from the bottom to the top, here we go. Boom. And if you're riding and you're real, come wrong. Boom. They in the park ballers, but we all pro. Everybody strapped, but we let it go. Come on. You know what I'm reppin', sit down and learn your lesson. We the BL, okay, okay, easy. Now keep it raining, you're paying attention. Listen, we the BL, okay, okay, easy. Nobody's seeing me, they told me it's my pain. It's show some love or be living under the logo. Right. Stop the hate, I ain't playing, homie, it's time to grow. Fuckin' with my money, yo, you don't wanna hear it. Boom. I understand that work hard and it pays more. Cause I've been sitting and writing since 94. That's right, since 94, I wanted more, I need more. I need fuck it with my art, you be ducking, dodging my dog. Now clap with me, they hating, so clap with me. I'm boogie down to the heart, peace up to the city. Peace up to the riders, cocaine suppliers. Yeah. Rubber bands, duffel bag, black card grind. No class flyers, catch me in a C-class, pass like flyers. Clean the way it came, same color as my sire. So grown up, keep the factory on tires, man. When I'm reppin' sit down and learn your lesson, we the BL, okay, okay, you say. I told you we raining, homie, now pay attention, we the BL, okay, okay, you say. You smell that? Didn't want any wine. Something about the cream got me going out of my mind. How can I ever grow, yo, if I don't even try? I don't even lie, you carry between the lines. I'm a beat, no spice, no craving the whole pie. Let them have it, the click clackin', I'll be revived. I'm blowing up, someone stepped on a landmine. In the rap, you hear it when I rhyme. No need to get bent out of shape, you'll be fine. Before you get bent out of shape, I mean literally. Okay. You're a mommy and cake, evidently you're sweet. Sweet. That nigga's pushing up weight, but you're George to me. See the heat is backed up, love to make it skate. You know when I'm rapping, sit down and learn your lesson. We the BL, okay, okay, you say. I told you we raining, homie, now pay attention. We the BL, okay, okay, you say. Back against the wall.
Rocking with you, girl. Let's get this show started. So, gonna talk about Tracy Morgan getting a divorce after 5 years of marriage. Like, who would think after 5 years of marriage Tracy Morgan would be getting a divorce? And the question was posed, whoever did the article, the question was posed at the end, should she get half? So it says, bad, sad news, your thoughts on this? Tracy Morgan, 51, married Megan Wallover, 33, in August of 2015, a year after Morgan was critically injured in a highway crash that occurred when a Walmart truck slammed into the back of a limo Morgan was driving in. One man was killed in the crash that left the former 30 Rock star and two friends seriously injured. As a result of his injuries, Morgan had to learn to walk again. After almost losing Tracy last year, I am so grateful to finally be married to the love of my life, Wallover told People Magazine in 2013. Morgan had told the magazine his wedding to Well Over motivated his recovery. Now Tracy Morgan and Megan Well Over are filing for a divorce. They married in 2015, a year after Morgan was critically injured in a highway crash. Megan filed dissolution documents on Wednesday, citing irreconcilable differences. Sadly, after nearly 5 years of marriage, Megan and I are filing for divorce, Tracy said in a statement. Because the 30 Rock star wasn't astute enough to concoct a prenuptial agreement, Megan is asking the judge to give her half of the $90 million settlement Tracy received from Walmart following his near-fatal limousine crash in 2014. He's also seeking sole ownership of their $14 million mansion in New Jersey, should she get half. And I said, no. That $90 million was acquired because he was in an accident caused by a Walmart driver, and Walmart paid the settlement of $90 million. Most of it is probably spent already, but still in all, at that time, she wasn't his wife, she was his girlfriend. So, yes, she was there and helped him with his recovery of getting, you know, besides the people at the rehab center helping him, but at home she was helping him, you know, in his recovery. She should get, I would say this, she should get something, but not half of $90 million. And then she's like, she wants ownership of the $14 million mansion they live in. Now, we talked about this on my other show, Six and Road, and I told, this is what I wanted to know. I was like, what does she bring to the table that will make him say I do? And what has she done since then besides help him recover that she would deserve half of the $90 million? You know, people giving, you know, were commenting on the post, and people, some people were thinking she's a gold digger. I'm not saying that, but that's what some people think, that she's a gold digger. Yeah. But I, you know, that was my thought. Like, what does she bring to the table besides? I mean, yeah, you helped him recover. Yeah, that's nice of you to help him recover, but what else besides helping him recover did you do? What did you bring to the table? I don't think she should get half. She should get something, but not half of the $90 million. Nor should she get the mansion, because if you came into this with not working, if you came into this without making your own money, and he financially supported you, how are you going to sustain a $14 million mansion? You know what I'm saying? If she get half, yeah, she can sustain that mansion. Because a lot of women want to keep living the life that they're accustomed to. And if they lived in California, she would have got half of everything. They would have gave her half of everything. But he acquired that $90 million before they was even married. So she would get none of that, regardless if they didn't have a prenup. They don't have a prenup. She's not getting half of that. Judge is not awarding her half. I'm not sure if they have kids together or not. But if they don't, if that mansion is a 7-room mansion, what is you as a woman going to do by yourself with a 7-room mansion? I've seen mansions where they have so many rooms that you alone ain't going to be in every room. Ain't like he wants to sleep in every room in the daggone house. I know Tracy Morgan has kids with his previous wife, but I don't know if he has kids with his wife. Yep. But if you got with him because, if she got with him because she really thought he had money, then that's wrong. Then I would say to everybody who's commenting, she's a gold digger, is right, she's a gold digger. But when you're in a relationship, both of you have to bring something to the table for it to go to the next level to say, this is the person I want to marry. And it's like, what did she, he's a celebrity here, so what did she bring to the table that made him be like, she's the one I want to marry? I'm just saying. And she could say in court, I was there for him through his recovery, helped him get better, and all that stuff. And he can say something totally different than what she's saying. He probably tell the judge, I'll give her alimony, but it ain't gonna be half of no $90 million alimony. And I doubt if he's gonna give up that house for and give it to her. And why would you want a $14 million mansion if it's you by yourself? She might just wanted to show off. Cause there are females that are like, oh, my man got money. They always brag about their man having money and he do this and that for me. There are women like that who brag about their man giving them money and doing things for them. And, you know, people say, so what do you do for him for him to do all of that for you? And sometimes they say nothing. I don't do anything. There's no way in the world that a man's going to buy things for you, give you money, and you not do anything for him. Nope. That's out of the question. But yeah, I just, you know, that was my thing, wanting to know, what does she bring to the table? For him to be like, you're the one I want to marry, and then now, after 5 years, your mind has changed. And you know what? Money does change people. People do act different when they get money. And maybe him getting that $90 million settlement from his accident changed him. Maybe he's not the same Tracy she fell in love with. And instead of their relationship getting better, it was getting worse. But you gotta go by the, when it comes to divorce, you gotta follow the laws of the state that you're in. I know California, no matter what the white kids have. And I think that's why Jeff Bezos' wife got half of that billion that he had. Yep. Because I think they lived in Cali, so I don't know what Jersey's law is when it comes to divorce. Because if Jersey's law is like California, But that $90 million, I don't think it should count. Because it's not joint, I guess you could say joint assets between the two of them. It's not joint because that was his settlement for an accident that he had. While she was his girlfriend, she wasn't his wife. And I hope she ain't one of them chicks that would lie to get some to lie to the lawyer to say he, you know, to say that he did things that he didn't do just to get money, just to get the money, just to get what she want. You know what I'm saying? I hope she's not one of those chicks. Yep. It's crazy. But I feel she shouldn't get half. Not that 90 million. Because they both have to show their the assets, and the judge will decide by looking at the assets who gets what. Now, if he say, okay, she can keep the mansion, how is she going to sustain it? And if the judge says, if he said, oh, she can keep the mansion, she ain't going to be able to pay the mortgage payment for a $14 million mansion. And if he outright owns it and all he's paying is the taxes on it, then I don't know how much the taxes would be on that. Can she sustain paying the taxes? If you pay the mortgage off and all you have, and all you're doing is paying the taxes, can you afford to pay the taxes? That's all I'm saying. Can she afford to pay the taxes? Here's something I want to share with y'all, and this led to a teen's death. The story I'm about to share with y'all, and it says, social media encounter led to Bridgeport teen's murder. Yep. Let me get to the article, and then I could. It says, an encounter with a man on social media led to the murder of a 14-year-old boy in Bridgeport, Connecticut. His parents said the mother of Jose Nunez reported him missing on Tuesday, 7/28 morning. The next day, detectives acting on a tip found his body in a wooded area along Wyant Road in Oxford. Police arrested Deontay Willoughby, 19, of Bridgeport during a traffic stop. He is charged with murder, with bail set at $1 million. Nunez's father said Jose had met the man on social media. I just want to make it clear to all parents, please take care of your kids with the phones. His father's name is Ignacio Campos said these people were still able to get to him on Snapchat and on him right out of my house. Nunez's aunt, 19-year-old Alyssa Farrah, said Jose was like a brother to her and her best friend. To take a child from somebody, how can you do that? You have to be heartless to take somebody else's life, she said, holding back tears. I hope this man rots in jail. They met through social media, Snapchat. This is why I say that young kids should not have a phone until a certain age. This is one of the reasons why I say young kids should not have cell phones at a certain age. Because stuff like this happens, but kids download TikTok, Snapchat, and all these apps, all these social media apps, kids download that. Yep, kids download these social media apps and they become targets for predators. Because these predators act like they're the same age as them, and they talk to them like they're their age, and then lure them, like they said, Michigan Miller's lured out of his house by the person he was talking to through social media. You understand what I'm saying? He was lured out of his house by a person through social media. So parents, pay close attention to what your kids are doing on their cell phone when they are in the home with you. You won't be able to check while they're at school and stuff and when they're out of the home. But there is monitoring apps that you can use to monitor your kid's cell phone to see what they are doing, what apps they are using. Because I read an article, I think years back when we did an episode, we did Sixth and Road, and the article was saying that kids had these secret apps on their phone. Yep, kids had the secret app on their phone, and the app was hidden. So say like on the phone, it looks like it's a normal calculator on their phone, but it's really the app hidden inside the calculator. So the calculator is the hidden app. Why are you hiding apps on your phone? As a kid, why are you hiding apps? And these are the type of apps that these young kids would talk to these predators. Like, you lure this young man out of his house to kill him? Like, what did this young man do to you for you to want to kill him? Like, to me, that makes no sense. It really don't make no sense to me. But we're going to take our first musical break. And we're going to get into... Let's play the Sean Martin Be Still. I feel this is the type of song we need flowing through this world right now. So we're going to get into the Sean Martin Be Still. And I'll be back with more topics and articles to share with y'all.
When your trouble, frustration is on every hand. When you're tired, don't know if you can stand. When you're weak and worn, He is holding your hand. Just be still. Know He's God. Just be still. The devil's busy, my God is bigger, yeah. He sees the pain you feel, let him dry tears. While he's working,
let me encourage you.
This is Sean Martin with Be Still. If you like that song, you can check it out through all digital streaming platforms. Now this next story I'm going to share with you. It's another sad story, but condolences to the family of what's his name? Who knows us to the Nunez family? Because I cannot remember the young man's name. And this is a page on Facebook called Dear Humans Of. And they shared this story that I'm going to read to you. It said, Dear Humans Of Canton, Ohio, I am very, very handsome, lovable, and completely innocent. 1-year-old baby boy, Ace Lucas. Early this past Wednesday morning, July 22nd, 2020, at 12:30 a.m., as my twin brother, Arcel, and I slept, someone opened fire on the dwelling we were in. When it was over, both my brother and I had been struck by the gunfire. We were rushed to the nearby hospital. My brother's wounds were not life-threatening, but sadly, mine were, and I passed away. At this time, police are investigating my murder and looking for my murderers. If you have any information regarding my murder, you are urged to please contact the proper authorities, remembering that you can remain anonymous. Please keep my brother, family, loved ones in your thoughts as they deal with my very, very sad, senseless, and heartbreaking murder. Then it says, sleep well, baby boy. And, why would you shoot up a house? I don't care. See, this is what pisses me off. This senseless violence that's going plague in our country. Like, people have the stupidest beefs and they fight each other over it. Or, like, what happened here, shoot up. They see the person, because of the stupidest beef, you just took someone's life. You took a 1-year-old's life for what? What was the purpose of shooting up the house? What, you was looking for someone, and you thought that was the place where they stayed, so you said, let me shoot it up, not knowing that there's innocent people in that house? You know, some people have a crazy mindset. And I'm sure the person who did this is no longer in Canton, Ohio. They somewhere hiding out. Yep. They no, like I said, they're no longer in Canton. They somewhere hiding out. And they're hiding out because they don't want to get caught. Many a crimes happen like this, where senseless crime happens with someone, and it's the person gets shot, or they, whoever their intended target is, they get their intended target, they shoot them and kill them. Then they go hide. They go to another, they go visit family members in another state, not saying why they there to visit, and these family members protect them. And don't say nothing. Like, Johnny gotta come visit you. Johnny's coming to visit you. He's gonna stay with you for the rest of the summer. And the family member don't question it or nothing. They say, okay. We don't mind having him here. We don't mind having him here. Yep. And that's what they say. We don't mind having him here. He's welcome. He's family. He's welcome. Right. And then when news, when it becomes national news, meaning not just that they show in that state, they show it across the 50 states because it's made national news. And but as the family, you should be like, don't you find it strange that all of a sudden your family member wants to stay the summer with you and they've never done it before? If a family member comes and stays with you for the summer for a week or two and they've never done it before, that's something you should question. Because if they did something illegal, you know when the cops find it, they don't care, they're going to pin you as an accomplice in the crime they committed, unless they committed it in another state. But it's dumb. My brother was senselessly murdered. One of his best friends was senselessly murdered because it was a mistaken identity. He looked like the person that this person that shot him had beef with, so they were shooting at him and they shot him and killed him. And then that same night, my brother could have died too. All because of mistaken identity. When people got beefs with people, they don't care who's there. If you in the way of them getting their target, they're going to kill you too. And they don't care. And what they don't understand is, not only did you just take a life, you took away your own life, because once you get caught, you don't know what type of judge you're getting that's going to... Because some people commit murder and they say, okay, 5 years in jail. Nope. This judge might say, you know what? I'm going to give you life in jail. Depending on what your age is, if you a teenager, you will never see the light of day. Just like the movie I watched called Carter High, I think it's called. And here's these Carter High is a black school. And it was about the football team. Movies about the football team. Football team was winning, doing this, and they try to stop them from getting into the championship and all that stuff. But they had a good lawyer. The lawyer got them in. And, but one, their friend told them, you know what? I know where you, because they, you know, they living on the poverty line, so they ain't got no money. So a friend told them how they can make good money. And they listened to their friend and started robbing. And they got busted. And even though the judge said, the judge sentenced 20 years, 20-year terms, meaning for every robbery, the judge said, for every robbery you did, you get 20 years in jail for it. So just think, you commit two robberies. That's 40 years in jail for two robberies. Another one got three consecutive terms of 16 years. And these were star athletes that could have got themselves put in the NFL. Because they went to a good college and got drafted into the NFL, but because of hard times, they decided to go rob. Yep. That's what they decided to do. And doesn't care if it's the first offense or not. Four terms of 20 years. So you got 20, then you got 40. You got 6. That's 80 years in jail just for committing robbery. Yep. And people don't understand when they commit senseless violence. Not only did you take a life, you're taking away your own life. Because once you get caught, you may get life in jail. For me, I gotta be on the street than in the jail cell. Whatever beef I got with somebody ain't that important for me to want to take their life and give myself life in prison. Nope. There's no way that I would put myself in that position, take someone's life, and then give myself life because if I get caught, that's what the judge gonna give me. My cousin, years ago, he was at a house party with some friends, and you know, this young kid talking smack, they got into a fight. I don't know if he killed the young man. You know, when you get into a fight, if you know how to fight, you can fight, you know. And he was fighting a young man, and it was in self-defense. And I think, I don't know if he killed the young man or if he did, and this was just a regular fist fight. Nobody was using no weapons, but he was older than the dude he was fighting. And I want to say something to you young dudes out there. Stop trying to be Billy Badass in the street. Especially when you're dealing with someone who is older than you. Thinking because you're young, you can beat that person because you're young, they're older. No. You don't know people's mindset. You don't. Because just like the dude that killed my brother, something was mentally wrong with him. And that mental illness he had took over and made him stab my brother. Yeah. But as I was saying, the situation with my cousin, because a lot of these people do things like stab somebody, kill somebody, and then they go on the run. My cousin was on the run. And like I said, with family, with staying with family, yes, he would stay with us. But we didn't know that's why he was staying with us, because he was on the run. We didn't know that. Didn't know that until someone ratted him out. and he got caught by the police. Because there was a reward money. It was like, I think, $2,500 reward money for him being captured. And somebody that knew him ratted him out, and he got captured. But that's what I'm saying, where people that come visit, like family members that don't come visit you, all of a sudden now want to come visit you, you got to question that. I'm not saying you shouldn't help your family, but in this type of instance where they kill somebody, you don't want them bringing that to your doorstep. Because now you're harboring a fugitive. And you can go to jail. I think you can go to jail for harboring a fugitive. Because he is a fugitive of whatever state he came from. And they're going to find him. Because they're going to do background. They're going to see who he's related to. And they're going to find you eventually. And you can't lie and say, oh, no, he's not here. He came to visit, but he left. You can't harbor a fugitive. You go to jail yourself. And you don't want that. Definitely don't want that. You definitely don't want that. Okay. So I'm just saying, don't be that family to be harboring your family member who's a fugitive. Don't get yourself in their trouble. And condolences go out to the Lucas family. So New York says Cuomo declares state of emergency for downtown NY after Isaias, that's what the name is of the new hurricane. Says torrential rain and wicked winds from Isaias turned deadly in New York City and knocked out power to millions of the tri-state area. As scores of trees came down, New York City's power utilities saw more outages from Isaias than any storm except Superstorm Sandy in 2012. Yep. Because you got a lot of senior citizens who live on their own. And some of them are on, they're on machines that, you know, like oxygen machines. They're on, you know, they probably on machines that need to be plugged in. Like breathing machines and stuff like that. And you gotta think about the senior citizens. Here is something I'm gonna share. It says pop star family dysfunction. two brothers, two cases, two grieving families. This is an actual video that I'm gonna play for y'all. Let me pause it and restart it. So, if you remember, and this is coming from Crime Watch, remember the 90s group High Five. And the original members was Tony Thompson, Mac Dew, his real name is Marcus, Russell, and Pooh. They called him Pooh, but I can't remember what his real name is. And the other dude's name started with a T, but he was out of the group because he committed a crime, so they had to kick him out of the group. And then my boy, Trusting, took his spot. But this is the story of, I'm gonna play it for y'all. Let me unmute it so y'all can hear it. So here we go.
You might know his face. There's an even better chance you know his music. With top 10 hits such as I Like the Way, Russell Neal was part of the 90s boy band sensation High Five. But then, Russell walked. A reversal of fortune. A supermodel caught in the storm.
He just kept saying they got in a fight.
And a tragic question, just how far can one star fall?
Too beaten. He's bad.
Russell's beautiful girlfriend, Catherine Martinez, would stop at nothing to be on top.
She was very ambitious. She was very fun, energetic, and honest.
It doesn't matter how hard she had to fight to do it, it would get done.
And it did.
And it did.
The stunning 24-year-old Texas girl had the looks, the energy, and infectious drive to be in the public eye.
She was actually a fitness trainer. She was modeling, and then she was training to try to become a boxer, a female boxer.
And bodybuilding.
And bodybuilding.
She did win some championships on that.
But Catherine built her greatest hopes on her two boys.
She was always around them, made sure that everything was okay. She was made sure that a plate of food for them that was never missing.
She was a great mom.
Yes. Very protective.
What wasn't working was her relationship with the kid's dad, Russell Neal. But there was a point when Russell Neal was at the top of his game. Back when High Five was scoring hit after hit on the pop charts.
How good were they?
They were awesome. It was just an amazing group. So when you first met them, you fell in love with them. Their personalities, just young, you know, young teenagers having a great time.
Jonathan Kinlock was just a kid himself when he got hired as the High Five's road manager. He says Russell was the dreamy one with the smooth moves.
Yes, I'm available.
He was cool Russ. He was the one who always was able to control his temper. The ladies loved Russell.
And did he love the ladies back?
He loved the ladies back.
In record company press kits like this, the 16-year-old is promoted as a lovelorn Lothario.
We're one of the few that's looking for love.
But Russell felt High Five was keeping him down.
Russell decided that he wanted to have more of a singing part, but the labels and the producer didn't think that that was an appropriate decision to make.
So he walked. Good decision?
Looking back, I don't think so. I think that Russell did not have a solid footing on where he was going to take his life at that particular time.
Nearly 20 years later, it looks like solid footing might finally come when Russell meets Catherine, a stunning beauty nearly half his age.
That's where everything changed. Everything changed in our life.
Catherine's mom and sisters weren't too sweet on her new sugar daddy.
something about him, his eyes. It was just something dark. So I didn't like him from the get-go. It was just the way he came. Like, you know, he was really stuck up. You ain't got no money. Stop it.
But Russell's past in the spotlight dazzled the girl with stars in her eyes.
She used to brag about him at first. Oh, he got all this money, and he's saying this, and he's so cool. To her, it was everything. Because he was popular back in the day, but I kept telling her he ain't popular no more.
Not popular and flat broke, too. That forced Catherine to be the breadwinner for her, Russell, and their two little boys.
You know, using her money, he just, you know, she was the money maker for him.
But money was the least of their problems.
Was it domestic violence?
Yes.
Yes. There were bruises and scratches, and she would try to come to our house with makeup, and she would try to cover it up with makeup. You would see the foundation and everything trying to cover up her eyes, but we would tell.
Still, the smooth-talking crooner was always able to charm his way back into Catherine's life.
Aunt Russell kept telling her, I've changed, won't do it. You know, we have a family, we need to be together.
She always defended him. Oh, he's a good dad. He ain't no good dad, girl.
But finally, enough is enough. Catherine's relationship with Russell is as washed up as his career.
She was ready to, you know, do her own life by herself with her two kids. She put the kids in a new private school, homework in the morning. She had their lunches ready, breakfast ready. You know, you can tell how organized she was. She wanted them to succeed.
It was a new beginning for Catherine and the kids.
Happy Mother's Day!
But call it mother's intuition, Mary saw something different the last time her daughter visited.
When she left, that day she said, bye, Mom. It was kind of like when you turn the light on, like a little sun. It was like she was saying goodbye, but she didn't realize what she was saying.
It's an ominous premonition, and 4 days later would prove chillingly prophetic. A dedicated High Five fan catches a glimpse of Russell at the Houston Police Department. The fan excitedly snaps these shots of the fated superstar, who's waiting to speak to police about Catherine.
He just kept saying they got in a fight, and that she might need medical attention.
But it's worse than that, much worse.
There was something about him I didn't trust.
Russell Neal could have been the perfect mentor for Catherine Martinez, a young girl reaching for the stars. And Russell knew what it took to be on top as a member of hit R&B group High Five. But Catherine's family was suspicious about Neal from the very start. After leaving her mom's house on June 28th, Catherine is nowhere to be found.
That's the last time we heard from her. That's the last time we got a text message, you know. That's the last time any calls went out from her phone.
Then, on July 1st, a cool and collected Russell Neal strolls into the Houston Police Department.
What did you hear that he said? He just kept saying they got in a fight and that she might need medical attention.
Paramedics race to the apartment that Catherine shares with her two young sons. What they find is the stuff of nightmares.
What was done to her? How was she killed?
She was beaten and stabbed.
Police say they find Catherine dead, bashed with a blunt object. And then there are the stab wounds, multiple strikes with a sharp object. Prosecutors don't want to compromise their case by saying what those objects are, but there's no doubt the assault is vicious.
You couldn't tell it was her.
You couldn't.
I mean, we all know she was beautiful, but that, it didn't look like her at all.
This was savage.
It was overkill.
And the ultimate low note, the horror, the sisters say Catherine's little boys are right there, locked in a room just feet from the ferocious attack, and their mother's brutally beaten body.
They heard her screaming for her life.
Yes.
Her little boy.
Yes.
They were there.
They were there.
And I believe one of them walked out because he talks about it. He has
nightmares.
Yes. said Dad had blue-on shoes, and Dad told him it was ketchup.
At the county morgue, Catherine's mom is faced with something no mother should ever see.
It was, you know, you could have recognized. The only thing I recognized about her, it was her teeth, her mouth, her, you know, the way she would smile. That's what I recognized.
Her own daughter, dead for days. Her heartache and rage all focused on one person.
Did you immediately think of Russell? Without question.
I already know it was him. He was already. He turned himself in.
After Russell's shocking admission to police, he refuses to say any more without a lawyer. He's charged with first-degree murder and released on a $100,000 bond. Then Catherine's family's blood runs cold. Adding insult to their pain, they say Catherine's two little boys are left in the care of Russell's mom.
They were with him the entire month. The man, their father, who killed their mother. Yes.
The mother, his mother, was letting them see him. He would hide and come over there and let him take baths.
Yeah.
That CPS found that out, and that's how they were
removed. Yeah, that's how they were removed from her custody, is because she has them together all the time.
Child Protective Services immediately moves the boys into the care of Catherine's mom, Mary.
Do they talk about him?
No.
No.
I keep them busy.
But then, 2 months later, a twist that turns the case on its head. Russell's bond is revoked. The reason? The crooner tells his bail bondsman he no longer answers to Russell Neal. His new name is Jesus Christ.
Where is Russell Neal right now?
At Rusk State Hospital. He's trying to play crazy.
So why would Russell commit such a despicable crime?
Could have been jealousy. He could have seen that, you know, she's about to, you know, sign this contract and she's leaving him in the dust.
Honestly, fell if he couldn't have her, nobody could have her.
Yet after a year of treatment at Rusk State Hospital, the Harris County Court comes to a different conclusion. Russell Neal is mentally ill and remains incompetent to stand trial. There's no doubt Russell Neal stabbed and bludgeoned the mother of his children, Catherine Martinez. In fact, police say he confessed to it. But this brutal murder case still isn't open and shut.
He no longer goes by his name.
What is his name?
He's trying to say that his name is Jesus.
Russell's committed to Rusk State Mental Hospital, where doctors declare him mentally ill and incompetent to stand trial. Catherine's family says he's crazy like a fox.
You sat there with her for 2 days to make sure her life was gone. And then you decided to turn yourself in. So you're not incompetent. You're not crazy. You know exactly what you did.
So has Russell Neal found a way to beat his murder rap? Not quite. Prosecutors refuse to drop the murder charge. He's ordered to continue treatment and has another competency hearing in August of 2017.
He's not crazy. He's not. She's going to get justice.
Drugs? Alcohol abuse?
I had not known any of those things to exist with Russell. I don't know where this person that we're now sitting here talking about, I don't know where and how that person came into existence.
While Catherine's heartbroken family sifts through the wreckage of what Russell did, they wonder, should they have seen this coming? Maybe so, and they didn't have to look far.
We don't hear many good things about that family as a whole.
Turns out Russell's case has an incredible and similar backstory, starring Russell's younger brother, Ronald, and a young, beautiful mother of two named Stevani McGee.
Everybody knew Stevani. You know, she was very popular. Because she was so pretty.
Pretty?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Beautiful inside and out.
Inside and out.
At age 29, Stevani settles down with a boy she's known since junior high, Russell Neal's younger brother, Ronald. But just like Russell, Ronald doesn't make the best first impression.
I didn't really care for him.
Why not?
He seemed like a very mean person. Angry person all the time.
You know, he thought he was more than what he was, you know, because his brother was, you know, a part of, you know, High Five.
The family's doubts followed the couple all the way to the altar.
The day we went to pick out our wedding dress, I asked, why, Ronald?
You did.
She says, I love him. I said, I'm like Tina Turner. What's love got to do with it? I feel like she could do better. Welcome to the family. That was my speech at the reception because I was Stevani's, you know, matron of honor. I told him, you take care of Stevani, you know, we'll treat you just like family.
It's just months into the marriage when the misgivings grow into regret.
She just got tired of him because, you know, his mom, you know, was basically paying his way. You know, Stevani's working, but his part, his mom would always help him pay his.
Then the family finds out it's even worse than they thought.
She had started telling me stuff, like bits and pieces of things.
Like what?
Like, you know, how he would jump on her and lock her up in the closet and do it with a belt one time and with a belt buckle.
She wouldn't hardly ever wear makeup, but if she put on makeup, she was hiding something. You know, a bruise or a black eye or something.
Then in late 2007, Ronald takes his abuse to a terrifying new level. After a reported wild night of booze and cocaine, Ronald attacks Stevani. The 200-pound brute knocks his wife to the ground, straddling her and spraying her face with disinfectant. Police take a report on Stevani's injuries, and Ronald is charged with assault.
He was done.
Yeah, she was done at that point.
Tragically, Ronald's not finished with her.
He found out that she had filed for divorce, and he had took some TVs, computers, and stuff like that, and he left. And he called me that same day, and he said, yeah, this divorce ain't going to be easy.
And it's not. The divorce turns deadly.
Thursday morning when I turned my phone on my way to work, you know, I had this phone call from Ronald, and I'm like, hello? He said, this is what he told me. Bitch, get your black dress ready, because I'm going to kill this bitch.
On the very day Stevani's divorce is filed, Ronald makes good on his promise.
Archie 911. This is police on me now. I'm not going to get up. Keep looking into my mom's house.
The horror starts with a chilling 911 call from Stevani's 10-year-old son, saying his stepdad has smashed his way into their home, dragging his mom into her bedroom.
My mom said, please run and don't hurt me. Please rush, because she's crying. She...
I know. They're coming, okay? They're coming. They're going to be there in just a minute.
The terrified boy pleads for help over his mother's blood-curdling screams.
She's screaming louder. I hear our mom trying to get out the room. She's banging on the door. She's screaming loud.
Then the call cuts off on a terrifying note.
Hello?
You shot him.
Five times.
Rescuers might have a small window of time to save Stevani, but first, they've got to get past a madman with a gun. Ronald has barricaded himself inside.
That was his whole plan the entire time, was to sit there and let her bleed out.
She's screaming louder.
A little boy's desperate call for help. A young mom, Stevani Neal, shot. The assailant, her enraged husband, Ronald Neal. Now, a standoff. Ronald refuses to come out of the house while his wife bleeds to death in the bedroom. Stevani's sister-in-law, Denise, arrives to find the family's once loving home turned upside down.
When I got there, it was just pure chaos. I'm used to going there and seeing one or two police, but not police everywhere, tape everywhere. I had to make that phone call to her brother, to her mother, to her cousin.
Stevani's brother, Kevin, calls Ronald and hears this from a man he once called family.
He picked right up on the first ring, and I asked him, what did you do to my sister? And he said, I shot her. And just like that, I shot her three times.
For more than 2 hours, hostage negotiators try to get Ronald to surrender. But he puts them off, saying, give me a few more minutes and let me get dressed. All while Stevani's life slowly slips away.
So you're just going to let her sit there? You're not going to let them come in there and help my sister No, I'm not. So that was his whole plan the entire time, was to sit there and let her bleed out.
The SWAT team can't let that happen. They rush in. Ronald fires two rounds at police. He misses and thankfully runs out of bullets.
When they did enter through the door, he had already used his last bullet. And so I guess they didn't shoot him because they realized that the slide was back on the gun and there was no ammo in the gun.
Rescuers move Stevani to the front yard to administer CPR. Tragically, it's too late.
We was on the highway and we got the call.
Stevani's cousin Nisi is racing to the scene with Stevani's mom when they get the terrible, fatal news.
When she got the call, she just like started screaming. She started screaming. She said she didn't make it.
And I asked, could I see her? And they said no, because it was a crime scene. And I told her I had to see my baby, but I couldn't see him.
Ronald Neal is dragged from his hiding place and arrested for murder. The Arlington police have a lot of questions for the crazed killer, but the first thing the heartless gunman wants is to talk to his mom.
Why do you need to talk to your mom? Just make sure I'm doing the right thing. Okay. I'm sorry. Got the detectives right here that want to interview me.
Stevani. In fact, Ronald acts surprised that his wife is dead.
Can you tell me what I'm being charged with?
Yeah, you're being charged with, for right now, murder and two counts of attempted capital murder.
Murder?
Yes.
She didn't die, did
she? Yes, she did.
Huh?
Yes, she did.
I didn't do that.
Ronald claims insanity.
He tried to plead insanity. He tried to do everything. He tried to plead insanity. He tried to plead crime of passion, but I told the DA, no. I'm not going out like that.
But before the mental illness defense can be tested in court, Ronald makes a surprising turnaround.
When he pled guilty, what went through you?
He punked out because he didn't want to face the truth of what that jury was going to give him.
If Ronald Neal thought the judge would be lenient in his sentencing, he was wrong.
The judge gave him 80 years. And, you know, in Texas, that's basically equivalent to a life sentence. He'll have to serve 30 before he's eligible for parole.
Stevani's cousin Nisi still doesn't think it's enough.
Life in prison. He can still, his family can still see him. We can't see Stevani.
What would you have chosen?
Give me a gun and let me shoot him. Let his family feel our pain.
Now the question, was Ronald's case a blueprint for murder for his brother Russell, who confessed to killing the mother of his two kids 6 years later?
When you heard about Kathleen,
I can't believe this has happened again in the same family. I'm like, what is wrong with them?
The similarities between the two. Eerie. Very.
Russell is still holding on to the insanity defense while being evaluated in a mental facility awaiting trial. We scheduled an exclusive sit-down interview with his brother, Ronald Neal, behind bars. We wanted to know, could the convicted murderer tell us anything to help understand what drove his brother Russell to kill Catherine, much in the same way he murdered his wife. But just minutes before our interview was set to begin, all bets were suddenly off.
When Ronald Neal got word that we were on prison property, he refused to come out of his cell, even though he had previously agreed to do an interview with us. And after a lot of talking back and forth between the wardens and other prison personnel, he still did not budge. But Ronald had someone deliver this letter to me, which reads, "I, Ronald Neal, do not want to participate with the media interview in any way at this time."
With Ronald now tight-lipped, Crime Watch Daily paid a visit to Russell and Ronald's parents in Waco, Texas, to see if they could shed some light on their two sons. To date, they have not responded to our request for an interview.
His family,
apologize. Surprise? Why not? That's just their way.
Until the former pop singing sensation Russell Neal goes to trial, any kind of justice in Catherine's case is put on hold, leaving two grieving families to pick up the pieces while sharing these words of warning.
Just listen and be there for your family. Pay close attention. Don't ignore it. Save them. I don't care what you got to do. If you know it's happening or you have already experienced it with them the first time, get them out of there before you end up like us. Please.
That's your favorite part of the show. I mean, let's get there.
Really nice to have something a little red, a little sexy. So we have blood orange and Aperol Spritzer, which is made with rhubarb.
Oh, rhubarb. Mm. Is that champagne?
Champagne.
Okay, that's fine. Let me get some.
Oh,
I
this.
Didn't want liquor.
Oh, you want that?
Okay, sorry about that. But you heard that. Both brothers commit the same crime. Russell talking about his name ain't Russell, he Jesus, so that he don't get convicted and that he's staying in a mental facility for killing his girlfriend. The brother got 80 years in jail for killing his wife. And they said the parents didn't even send no condolences or to say sorry that my sons did this. Nothing. Damn shame. Something mentally wrong with them too. He's an idiot. He left the group because he wanted more singing parts. Can you really sing? Because I'm going to tell you what record labels do. These are for what record labels do when they put groups together. The best singer out of the group is always the lead. So just remember that. The best singer out of the group is always the lead. So, and that influence was Tony Thompson, Mac, Russell, Poole, and Trust were background. Yep. You're always gonna hear Tony's. You will always, if you go back and listen to your High Five albums, you will always hear Tony's voice as the lead. And the only other voice I think you might hear is Trust's voice because he had that deep voice. Not deep like Barry White, but, you know. So they would use his tone for songs as well. And I guess Mac, Pooh, and Russ wasn't getting no play singing parts. He wasn't getting no play singing parts, singing lead on songs. He's like, fuck it, nah, I don't want to be part of the group no more. So, he's crazy for that. Crazy for that. Taking the mother of his child's life, of his children's life. Yeah. and they call him a pop star. Hi-Fi was an R&B group, just to let y'all know. And this is the last one I'm going to share with y'all. And this is Ohio Speaker and four others arrested in $60 million bribery case. It says Columbus, Ohio, the powerful Republican Speaker of the Ohio House and four associates were arrested Tuesday in a $60 million federal bribery case connected to taxpayer-funded bailout of Ohio's two nuclear power plants. Hours after FBI agents raided Speaker Larry Householder's farm, U.S. Attorney David DeVillers described the ploy as likely that the largest robbery and money laundering scheme that had ever been perpetrated against the people of the state of Ohio. Says Governor Mike DeWine, also Republican, called on Householder to resign immediately, saying it would be impossible for him to be an effective legislative leader, given the charges against him. The head of the Ohio Republican Party, the state attorney general, and the Senate president also urged Householder to step down. The leaders of the House Republican caucus called the allegation shocking, but stopped short of asking Householder to resign. $60 million bribery case in Columbus, Ohio, says Holder was one of the driving forces behind the nuclear plant's financial rescue, which added a new fee to every electricity bill in the state and directed over $150 million a year through 2026 to the plant near Cleveland and Toledo. Also arrested were Householder advisor Jeffrey Longstreth, longtime state house lobbyist Neil Clark, former Ohio Republican Party chairman Matthew Borges, and Juan Cepedes, co-founder of the Oxley Group, a Columbus-based consulting firm. Previous attempts to bail the nuclear plants have stalled in the legislature before Householder became speaker. Months after taking over, he rolled out a new plan to subsidize the plants and eliminate renewable energy initiatives, renewable energy incentives. The proposal was approved a year ago despite opposition from many business leaders and the manufacturing industry. So the investigator said Householder controls Generation Now, a group that received $60 million from the unidentified company over the past 3 years. In exchange, Householder and the other defendants worked to pass the nuclear plant bailout and block attempts to overturn it, according to a criminal complaint filed by the FBI. The group was charged as a corporation in the case. Householder and the others used the money to preserve and expand his political power. The complaint said almost $100,000 was used for Householder's 2018 campaign and more than $100,000 paid costs at the speaker's father's home. According to the complaint, the amounts increased once the legislation was introduced and after it was signed into law. Roughly $38 million was wired into Generations Now accounts in defeat and effort to put a repeal of the bailout law on Ohio's ballot, the complaint said. A former spokesman for the effort declined to comment. One of the defendants said the money was unlimited, while another referred to it as monopoly money. Although the defendants made brief appearances at the federal court hearing in Columbus, the magistrate judge released them on their own recognizance with travel restrictions and orders to give up any weapons and their passports. Householders wearing jeans and a t-shirt and wearing a mask despite previous refusal to Don Juan, walked out the courthouse to a crowd of protesters calling for his resignation. He could not be driven away until police intervened, including arresting one protester. After the court hearing, the state's Republican elections chief announced that he had referred 90 potential campaign finance violations to the Ohio Elections Commission based on the allegations in the complaint, including converting campaign funds for personal use. First Energy Corp, whose former subsidiary owned the plans, donated heavily to Householders Campaign and his backers in the Ohio House. The utility's political action committee attributed $25,000 to Householders Campaigns in 2018, according to an analyst by Common Cause Ohio, a government watchdog. Householder flew to President Donald Trump's inauguration on the company's plane in 2016. As months later, Householder began receiving quarterly payments of $250,000 from the unidentified company sent through Generation Now, the complaint said. The group then spent millions backing Ohio House candidates who would back Holder's bid for Speaker and support the bailout legislation. First Energy Solutions, a subsidiary which has since changed its name to Energy Harbor, now operates the nuclear plants as an independent company. It spent millions on lobbying and campaign contributions while trying to persuade federal and state officials to give the nuclear plants a lifeline. It says First Energy Corp said it in a statement that it received subpoenas Tuesday in connection with the investigation and intends to cooperate. A message seeking comment was left with attorney Dave Thomas, who was requesting both Householders along Seth Borges. Okay, a message seeking comment was left with attorney Thomas, who was representing both Holder and Longstreth. Borges has increasingly been on the outs with the Ohio Republican Party establishment since it was taken over by devotees of President Donald Trump. He was recently censured by the party's Central Committee, including for helping launch a PAC in June to turn out GOP voters for Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. Borges' attorney declined to comment. Clark is one of Ohio's best-connected lobbyists, representing high-powered, stable clients from the pharmaceutical, gambling, and alcohol beverage industries, among others. His attorney, Will Allen, said he did not see any culpability in the case. Because the president is a former investment officer with the Ohio Treasurer's Office, who was appointed by then-Governor John Kasich as commissioner for the Ohio Civil Rights Commission, where he oversees the Office of Stop Discrimination. His term ends July 29th. President Attorney Mark Collins said he was still viewing the 82-page affidavit. Householder's a veteran state lawmaker in the second stint as Speaker. He held the same position from 2001 to 2004. He left state politics more than a decade ago because of term limits and returned in 2016 and took up a contentious fight to win back the chamber's top job. Wow, I'm just saying. 60 mil. And a scheme for 60 mil. Well, that is it for BOE for the Pages of the Airwaves. If any good articles or stories come across your way that you think we would be good at talking about or sharing with the world, you can always email us at roadtostardom2010@gmail.com and put in the subject line, great topic for BOE from the Pages of the Airways or Six. We always invited to the Airways and Sixth and Road. I appreciate you rocking with your girl. I will see you at the next show, which is the Indie Experience. You can get nothing but the best of indie music. The next Promote Your Business show is on the 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All you got to do to participate is go 347-202-0318. That's 347-202-0318 to promote what you got going on. And you can check out the website, which is msgigo.wix.com/road-to-stardom. Then you can check out the blog site, which is roadtostardom.wordpress.com. That's roadtostardom.wordpress.com. It's roadtowordpress.com. So follow your girl on Instagram, this is Gekko_RoadToStardom. Blackoke Forever, which is BLAKOKE. On Twitter is RoadToStardom, TWO is the 2. And Blackoke Forever, which is BLAKOKE. And if you miss any shows on by RoadToStardom Radio, you can do so by going to blogtalkradio.com. Or you can go to iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Play FM, Auto Radio. Or just Google Roll to Start Already. You see the many platforms we are on. That's right. If you'd like to make a donation to the station, that would be cool. You could do so by going to Cash App, put in $ Ms. Gigo 2010. That is MSGIGO 2010. Venmo is at MSGIGO 2010. PayPal is paypal.me/roadtostardom. You can donate whatever amount you feel. Because no amount is too big or too small. It's appreciated. Like I said, it helps keep the station going. We about to hit our 10th year on the 28th. And if you want 10 more years, that donation will help, but it'll be 10 more years. Yep. And once again, I do appreciate you. I see you at the next show. You could also support, I keep forgetting to mention this, you can also support by going to teespring.com/BLAKOKE-forever. If you click on, if you look in the description of the show, you will see at the bottom where it says teespring.com/JJashaniFashion. You could copy that link, put it in, it'll take you to the Black Oak Forever store. If you put in teespring.com/store/RoadToStardom merch, so you're going to put a road, and you're going to put a dash, and you're going to put the 2, a T-O, and you're going to put a dash, and you're going to spell Stardom, S-T-A-R-D-O-M, put another dash and put merch. And you can go to the Road to Stardom merch store by purchasing something from the store. The Road to Stardom merch store helps the station. If you purchase something from the other store, that helps us fund the Black Oak Forever Foundation. That's right. And you can go like the pages on Facebook, which is Roadtostardom Radio. So that's facebook.com/RoadToStardomRadio, Road to Stardom Empire, Six and Road Show, Black Oak Forever, Foundation. Yes. And if you would like, if you're a person who would like to be spotlighted by Road to Stardom, you can do so by hitting me up at roadtostardom2010@gmail.com with a bio and a pic and links to your business's website, a bio and a pic and links to your music. And you'll be featured on the Road to Stardom Radio's Facebook page, the Road to Stardom Empire Facebook page, and the blog site. That's right. So once again, I'm going to say peace, one love. I appreciate you. Bye-bye now. Don't be a stranger. Keep rocking with your girl on Road to Stardom Radio. Peace.